الحمد لله الحمد لله أستعينه وأستغفره وأعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Beloved brothers, as many of us may already be aware that we are currently about to experience the National Savings Month, which is due to begin on the 20th of July. It's been delayed as a result of the World Cup, and it runs right up to the 20th of August. Beloved brothers, on this important aspect of saving, the Star newspaper in this past week dedicated 4 independent pages to emphasize the importance of saving. In light of this, one of the statistics that are revealed is that in South Africa, this is stated that only roughly about 2.7% of our gross disposable income is saved. Whereas in European countries, from 7 to 30%, between 7 and 30% of gross disposable income is being saved. Hence, this problem of saving being deficient in South African individuals is being emphasized. In light of this, beloved brothers, it is important for us to emphasize that in order for a person to be a prudent financial manager, there's no need for a fancy qualification. All that is needed is common sense. And in light of this, beloved brothers, our topic for the day pertains to this aspect of saving, the importance, and more so, how do we approach it as Muslims? On one hand, we have the concept of wealth in Islam. How does Islam view wealth? What does it tell us about wealth that we possess? What does it tell us about saving? And in light of this, beloved brothers, let us first deal with the Islamic concept of wealth. And at the very beginning, it is extremely important for us to emphasize that Sharia doesn't have a problem with a person having wealth. There's no harm if a person has abundant wealth as well. In fact, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said reported to have taught his ummah this particular dua, in which he says, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan halalan wasi'a. Wa rizqan halalan wasi'a. He's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rizq, sustenance, which is number one, halal, and number two, it is in abundance. That abundance could refer to the whole principle and the faculty of barakah in our deen. So the person may not have abundant wealth in a physical form, but there's abundance in a barakah in that wealth. So it might be small in number, but that person has barakah in that wealth. He can do a lot with a very little. So beloved brothers, we learn from this important dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there's no harm in a person having wealth. There's no harm in a person having abundant wealth in the same way. In a similar light, in another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said something to this effect, that ni'ma al-malu salih lil-rajul salih wa fi riwayatin lil-mar'i salih, that the best wealth is that wealth which is abundant and it is in the hands of a good person. And the reason that muhaddithin commentate inside from this hadith is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that this wealth, abundant wealth in the hands of the right person, is a good thing, purely because if it is in the right hands, it will be disposed of in the correct manner. A person will be dealing with it in the manner required by the Quran al-Kareem and the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's no harm in a person having abundant wealth, provided that he's holding that wealth or he's in possession of that wealth with the correct intention, with the intention of abiding by the laws of the Quran al-Kareem as well as the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Proceeding further, beloved brothers, while we're on this topic, we need to emphasize that there's an extremely fine line between saving and hoarding. Many of us may already be questioning ourselves, if we're referring to saving and the Islamic aspect of saving, aren't we then guilty of hoarding our wealth? Beloved brothers, let us broadly make mention of the fact that a person will be guilty of hoarding his wealth if he is in possession of that wealth, but he is not disposing of it in the manner that is required by the Quran Kareem and the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. On the other hand, if a person is in possession of wealth, but he discharges it, he disposes of it in such a manner that is prescribed by Quran and Sunnah, that indeed can be saving and can be worthy of reward in the eyes of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. So the long and short of it is that Islam is not against a person saving his wealth. But let us proceed further. We may be questioning ourselves regarding the relevance of saving in terms of Islamic law. What is the relevance of being a person who is saving? Saving your wealth for a particular event, for a particular form of ibadah. Let us look at the Islamic precedent regarding the whole principle of saving. Firstly, there's a very important hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in which mention is made that a sahabi was on his deathbed. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to visit this person. So the person said, "O Nabi of Allah, I only have daughters. What do I do with my wealth? It's of no use to my daughters. Let me dispose of everything. Let me give it away while I'm alive. In the state of mind, I'll give it to the poor." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Sir, no, that is not the right thing to do." So he said, "O Nabi of Allah, then I'll keep half and I'll dispose of half. I'll give away the other half." He said, "That is also not acceptable." Then he said, "O Nabi of Allah, I'll keep a third of it and I'll dispose of the rest." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Wathuluthu kathir." That the third that you want to retain, or the third that you want to dispose of and the rest you want to keep, that is indeed good and that is abundant. You're giving away enough. So beloved brothers, from this hadith, we extrapolate the point that there's no harm in a person saving his wealth purely so that he leaves his heirs with something to benefit from. In fact, the hadith goes on to mention that أَنْتَذَرَكَ وَرَثَةَ أَغْنِيَاءَ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَنْتَذَرَهُمْ عَالَةً يَتَكَفَّفُونَ النَّاسِ. It is better for you to leave them with something instead of depriving them, disposing of everything, not saving anything, and now you're leaving them in such a state that they have to beg from people. They're becoming parasites in society. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave this point to the Sahaba. Similarly, you look at the whole institution of zakah, beloved brothers. If it was an Islamic requirement to discard everything in your possession, why would there be a need for zakah? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in His infinite wisdom knew that a person might be in possession of some money at the end of his Islamic year, hence the calculation of 2.5% of his net assets after deducting liabilities. So the mere fact that a person may have saved something and now is subjecting it to zakah, he saved some money, is subjecting it to zakah, and is being rewarded by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. In the same vein, the institution of Hajj, by and large, most of us have to work, we have to make effort to get to be granted the opportunity to perform Hajj. We don't, very few or very seldom it happens that a person receives a lump sum of money as a gift or as an inheritance and now he performs his Hajj spontaneously in any particular year. But by and large, we all have to make effort for it. But beloved brothers, that needs saving. And in light of this, beloved brothers, we'll come to this point of why, from the time a person starts to save, that's when the ibadah begins. The ibadah doesn't begin when you board that plane, you land in the kingdom, and now you're performing your Hajj. That's not when the ibadah begins. The ibadah begins from the time you start saving and preparing for the journey financially. We'll come to this again. Similarly, in the same vein, look at the precedent of a partnership. In Islam, the faculty of a partnership is left open. The partners in a business venture and enterprise can agree to between themselves that for an X amount of time, we're not going to draw any profits. There's no returns from this business. Everything that we make is going back into this business. We need to secure the interests of this business. But in essence, if you analyze, why is Sharia saying this is permissible? It is saying it because you need to save so that the business can be grounded well, so that the business can prosper. So the mere fact that Sharia is telling you that it is permissible for the partners to agree that we take no returns for the first 5 years, and we keep all returns, everything goes in towards the business, back towards the business. There's no harm in it, purely because you need to save as a result of, as a means of, so to say, a guarantee that the business will prosper. In the similar light, you find the institution of Mudaraba. Mudaraba is the institution where one person provides the financing towards the business enterprise and the other person provides the labor. What is a person doing in this? If you analyze the situation, analyze this whole aspect of our fiqh and jurisprudence, beloved brothers, You find that the person who is granting the finance, what has he done? He saved some money. And as a result of having excess wealth in his possession, he now decides to employ it. In employing that savings, what is he doing? He's empowering another person. Another person is now equipped with skills. He's granted the opportunity to exercise his expertise. And similarly, that person is now given the opportunity to earn some income when the profit ratios are agreed for distribution. So, beloved brothers, we find in this aspect of our jurisprudence and our fiqh that a person may have saved some money. There's no harm in it. Sharia says, now employ that capital. Now you can use it somewhere, you can empower another person, and you can uplift society. Proceeding further towards the benefits of saving and inculcating this culture of saving in our lives, beloved brothers, one of the tremendous benefits is that obviously when a person is saving, he needs to draw up a budget. He needs to plan himself. And this is when drawing up a budget, one of the benefits of drawing up a budget is that the person is now able to decipher and discern that, you know what, I'm wasting too much in this area. Let me cut down a little bit. So he's now, as a result of a budget, he's now not wasting. And what does the Quran Kareem say in this regard? It says something to this effect, that إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ, that those who waste are the brothers of shaitan. So in by virtue of drawing up a budget and planning yourself to save, you're saving yourself from wasting, which is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one benefit of saving, beloved brothers, is that you will ultimately have to draw up a budget, and you will have to curb your desires, you will have to save on those areas where you may be guilty of wasting. Similarly, one added benefit of saving, beloved brothers, is that it has the potential and the ability to unite a family. It's like how Irvin Khosa said recently in a paper that the World Cup was achievable and possible because of unity of purpose. The whole country came together and the World Cup was a success. So in the same way, beloved, be that as it may, if a person were to inculcate a habit of saving in his own home, imagine a parent saying to his family that he knows he can financially take his family for Umrah or for Hajj, whatever it may be, but he tells his family that we're intending to embark on this journey, we want to carry out Hajj, or the masjid is being constructed, we want to make a contribution of 5,000 rand. How do we do it? I can't do it alone, I need all of your help. So now he's got the cooperation of his wife, he's got the cooperation of his children, there's unity of purpose, and the family is now comes closer together as a result of inculcating the culture of saving. Similarly, in the same vein, we find that when a person inculcates a habit in the culture of saving, he tends to develop appreciation of a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we refer to wealth in Islam, all those, the 2 points we made of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua all indicate that wealth is a blessing in your hands. It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now you have a responsibility to procure it, you have a responsibility to protect it and to use it in the correct manner. And if you are not grateful unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a possibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he forbid, will snatch that blessing away from you. So beloved brothers, the importance of inculcating the habit of saving is that it will create the appreciation of blessings, which is an instant of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming back to the point of why the ibadah starts from the time you start saving, we look at the aspect of salah. Let's extrapolate from the whole principle of salah. Ulama mentioned that when a person intends to perform salah, when he leaves home, he must perform, proceed to the masjid in such a manner, in such decorum that is befitting. From the time he makes intention of performing salah, he should abstain from a habit of running. If he's making wudu and he knows the salah stood up, he might miss the rakat, he should avoid running. Why? Purely because from the time a person made that intention of performing salah, it is as if he's in salah. He's already entered salah, and in salah a person has to conduct himself in the correct decorum. So in the same way, from the time a person performs salah, it is as if he's in salah, hence he should not run. In the same way, we extrapolate this principle that from the day you start saving for that form of ibadah or for contributing towards the masjid for performance of Hajj, from that day your ibadah begins. Your ibadah doesn't begin when you physically start proceeding towards your journey. Lastly, beloved brothers, I'll end off on this note that with regard to the specific month, the savings, National Savings Month, there are two groups that are being targeted. The first group is the one that is less relevant to us, that is the group of soccer players. They are being targeted purely because of the irregular flow of income and because of the limited space of their careers. And the second group that is the more important one that is being targeted is youth. Young children are being targeted this month for savings, to inculcate the culture of savings. And in light of this, beloved brothers, let us just refer to the verse of the Quran Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. That do not give your wealth, do not dispense of your wealth to those who are safih, those who are incompetent of holding that wealth. And with reference to this, ulama commentate that it's referring to children. One of the groups that are being referred to are children. Purely because that wealth in your hands is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you were to hand it entirely to your child, he would squander it. He would not benefit appreciate the benefit, this blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us an instruction that procure that wealth, do not give it to the person who is incompetent and does not know how to deal with it. Now, beloved brothers, given that we have to inculcate the culture of savings in our children, the dilemma we have is that where do we draw the line? If we're teaching them to save, aren't we by default teaching them or inculcating love for that wealth? And as a result of this dilemma, beloved brothers, the suggestion is made that when a child genuinely breaks something in your home of value to you or your family, the suggested method to offset that, to create that balance, is don't scold the child. If you're scolding your child for breaking an ornament which is maybe of value to you, but it is a genuine error, it is not advised that the child be scolded, purely because now you're teaching him value for something which is material. So we're drawing, this is the method of drawing the line between saving and creating love for that wealth. And I'll end off on this note. There's a very interesting idiom in the Zulu vernacular. And the idiom goes, Likhotswa lisase manzi. What it means is that you bend a stick when it's moist. Many of us today, beloved brothers, as adults, some of us may have lost our parents, and now we decided, you know, when I was young, my father told me, abstain from smoking, abstain from this, that, and the other. It's about time I start doing it. So now we start doing it as adults. But beloved brothers, according to this important idiom, which is consistent with our principles of deen, you bend a stick when it's moist. Likhotswa lisase manzi. That's when you bend a stick. So when the child is young, that's when you inculcate the habit of saving in their lives, so that when they grow up, they have this culture established in their lives, and they can impart it unto others. With these few words, beloved brothers, I terminate making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He grant us all the tawfiq and the ability to make amal on what we have said, and to grant us the ability to discern between saving our wealth and hoarding our wealth. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
So Jazakallah khairan to Mufti Muhammad Hafiz Sahab, who is based at the Jamiatul Ulama in Wurzburg. We can see the competence with which Maulana is coming, having studied under the auspices of Mufti Taqi Osmani, one of the great fuqaha jurisprudence of present times. Thereafter doing Iftah at the Darul Ulum Azadwal, also having completed his honors in BA and is at present doing a BCom degree. We say Jazakallah khairan to Maulana for sacrificing his time for this very informative talk and lesson that has been delivered. And to summarize it, the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the Day of Judgment, that a person's feet will be powerless to move from its place until he is questioned some of the most important favors in his life. How have you spent the minutes of your life? In what did you expire your youth? Knowledge that you have possessed regarding your rights to Allah and creation, to what extent did you put it to practice? And pertinent to the discussion today, that wealth, two important questions regarding wealth, the means by which you had earned and procured it, and secondly, the means or the avenues in which you have thereafter spent it. So in both instances, the means of earning a halal livelihood, as well as the avenues in which a person spends for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in very noble ways, are specifically decreed within the Shariat. If we have any doubts, let us constantly refer to the ulama regarding these, inshallah. Some important announcements is that for all Hufaz within our community, any Hafiz who wishes Tarawih arrangements to be made, to please contact the Imams by this weekend, inshallah. Also, regarding Hufaz, next week, Tuesday night, a very important program for the Hufaz, those who have memorized the Quran Kareem in the greater Joburg region. will be conducted in the old markaz. In the old markaz, the details are up on the board for anyone who requires the address. Let us get the word around to as many people as possible, many Hufaz as possible, for the special program for Hufaz. Also a program in the community arranged by the Greenside Muslim Women's Group. A pre-Ramadan program will be hosted to prepare for the month of Ramadan physically and spiritually. Therefore, important talks will be given next week Saturday in the basement adjacent to the masjid. Next week Saturday at 2:30, inshallah. So I'll get the word around. Important is that observe the appropriate Islamic dress code, and as well as the program being specifically for ladies only. Jazakallah.